in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening or good day, and thank you for joining us. Do appreciate you, all of our listeners, joining Revelation tonight as we're learning more about the book of Revelation and how it affects our everyday life. We are living in these days of Revelation, and why I chose to focus on this is because these are the only prophecies within the whole Bible which pertain directly to our day. They weren't written for a previous application. They're written for us today. But yet so many people have no comprehension of what is really going on here or how to interpret it. So that's what we're going to do and continue to do here. I strongly suggest going back in the archives, listening to earlier shows to see how we got this far. But anyway, we're going to just recap a little bit. And I've got some actual visuals tonight. Riscala, if you would be so kind as to post that first picture, we're going to start this. This is just a little recap from last week. We actually got visuals tonight. Isn't that great? Fantastic. I love technology. But I prefer to live off-grid away from technology. So anyway, I wish everybody well tonight. And here we go. And this is actually going back to Revelation chapter 12, where war breaks out in heaven. And Michael and his angels battle the great dragon and its angels. And the great dragon does not prevail, and no longer is there a place found for them in heaven. And so down to the earth they were cast. And there was actually a warning that was given. Woe, woe, woe. Three woes for the earth. For Satan has been cast down to having great anger, knowing he has a short amount of time. Now, this is actually a war which breaks out. You could call it an interstellar war, or a war of the cosmos would actually be more accurate, interdimensional, or within our own. We're all tied together here, so. Whether it's an interdimensional war or a war within the physical galaxy, really doesn't matter, because it's in this galaxy now, down to the earth they were cast, not just this galaxy, but this solar system, this planet. And it really makes us wonder what is so important about planet Earth. Planet Earth is filled with God's creation, the children of Yahuwah live on this planet. We were given this planet, and then we were invaded by extraterrestrials, interdimensionals, alien forces, however you want to term it. Religion would have you think it's all demonic forces, but not in the way that it actually is. Yes, there are demonic forces, but the bottom line is most of what we're dealing with today are extraterrestrial forces. And as ufologists would go, or people who believe strongly in extraterrestrials, they would say that they're from the Pleiades or the Reptilians or they're the Greys or whatever the case might be. We make up that link. But when it comes to the Bible, Oh, couldn't possibly be right, could it? It's just because you don't comprehend what's written there, nor do you comprehend how to apply what is written. And so that's why we're in Revelation, because it is dealing with off-planet entities and their effect on this world today, because they are with us. There's no doubt about that. Why do you think things are as screwed up as they are? They have progressively gotten worse over the last 100+ years, pretty much ever since the turn of the previous century. And that's when we can pretty much figure that this war in heaven broke out. History would say, hey, we got the First World War, something that's never happened before. The entire planet at war with one another. And so out of the First World War, we were given a new organization, a government agency that was meant to oversee the nations, and it was the League of Nations. And here is the emergence of one of our beasts. But before we get there, Rose Scholar, can we have the next picture, number two there? Because this is the entity that we are truly dealing with. Seven-headed, ten-horned, fiery-colored dragon. Reptilians in charge. And the effect that they have had on this planet. Seven heads, seven world powers, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the United States, or actually England and the United States, or the United Kingdom, the Anglo-American dual world empire. So you would have 10 horns given, two to Medo-Persia, two to Rome, and then two horns to the last of the Anglo-American world power. And these world powers seem to be led by off-planet entities. They all had their gods. From Egypt, the Assyrians, the Babylonians had probably more gods than anybody else. The plethora of gods that we get with Greece and Rome. And many of those gods are still worshipped today. However, when we get to where we are now, the gods have changed a little bit because we've become too sophisticated to believe in gods. We'd rather believe in extraterrestrials. It makes much more sense. But academia gets everything wrong anyway. You know, it's like, we believe in extraterrestrials, but we all evolved on this planet. But anyway, so this seven-headed, ten-horned, seven heads again for the world empires, and we figure that each one of these world empires was led by a prince who served the king of the dragon system, or Satan itself. As we've read previously in the book of Ezekiel, that this was once the covering cherub of Eden. Boy, there's a whole lot there to unpack, too. So where we are in this stream of time is this seven-headed, ten-horned, fiery-colored dragon gets cast down to earth, and the following beast that we see in Rascal, if we could have the next picture, we're going to actually look at the next two, but this depicts it quite nicely. This is a interpretation of this fiery-colored dragon, which then we see this beast, another seven-headed, ten-horn, global completeness, global government, or ascending out of the sea. We talked about this a little bit last week, too, as this composite beast which ascends out of the sea of turmoil, which was World War One. And then comes to power as the League of Nations. Riscolo, the next picture, too, if we could have the picture number four. And here's a little bit better depiction of this beast. So these are always worldwide empires, or what signifies worldwide empires, the governments that started and the governments that we're under now. They're all linked together through this beast system. Anyway, this beast here, which ascends out of the sea, is given the throne of Satan. Satan himself gives this beast his throne, great power and great authority to rule over the world. And while we didn't see that on a tremendous basis after World War One, when we go back to Revelation 13, this composite beast gets a death stroke, and it gets healed from this death stroke. Well, when did the death stroke happen? The death stroke happened at World War II, and the League of Nations became useless, basically. The world was at war again, even greater now. Approximately 20 million people died in World War One. World War II saw the death of over 50 million people. But what happens at the end of World War II? Well, the death stroke gets healed, and we get the United Nations, a government that's assembled by non-elected officials. And we can see over the last several years, and we talked a little bit about this last week, how this government, how the government agencies of the United Nations has affected our daily lives, especially with the World Health Organization and the other units or the other subgroups which are directed connectly. I mean, connected directly to the United Nations. Sorry about that. We see how the United Nations has gotten involved in so many different countries, and it's become very powerful, even more powerful than the League of Nations, because this time the United Nations had the backing of the United States of America Incorporated. A lot of people will say that the United Nations was a Rockefeller invented entity. Well, the League of Nations was a Rothschild invented entity, or those working with the Rothschilds that wanted to put together a government to rule over the whole planet. And when that failed, Rockefeller took over with the United Nations, a government to rule the whole planet. And what was the first thing that the United Nations did? Declare Israel a state. Imagine that. Israel, the house that Rothschild built. And that's why it said we're saving Israel for last. The Rothschilds, pretty much part of the synagogue of Satan. And you know what's great? If you listen to a lot of the people that do have podcasts, especially even on the political side, there's a lot of sponsored podcasts that have popped up out of nowhere. I'm amazed that these people have thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of listeners. Oh, well, I just woke up 5 years ago. Well, how'd you get so many listeners? Well, we're sponsored, and it's another version of propaganda, because who's sponsoring them? And so it keeps us in a political environment and politically wrapped up with what's going on. You see, we're being bombarded from every way possible. But where we are now, where the League of Nations, or that the League of Nations become United Nations, has seemed to outlive its usefulness. People have had enough of the United Nations. People don't want to hear about this anymore. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this further. But the United Nations actually has a friend. And that friend is kind of a friend. But that entity is talked about as, let me go over and refer to this directly. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, it says, and I saw another wild beast descend out of the earth. Now, the interesting thing is the earth is more stable than the sea. You put something on the ocean, it's going to rock and roll. You put something on the land, and it can have a good, strong foundation. It's a lot more stable. Anyway, it says that it ascends out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, but it began speaking as a dragon, and it exercises all the authority of the first beast in its sight. And it makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first wild beast, whose death stroke got healed. And it performs great signs so that it should even make fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the sight of mankind. And verse 14 says, and it misleads those who dwell on the earth because of the signs that were granted it to perform in the sight of the wild beast. Well, it tells those who dwell on the earth to make an imp. Well, we're going to get there to it in just a second. I'll hold that. Let's stop right there. We go back to 13. It says that this wild beast that looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon can even cause fire to come down out of heaven. And here we have the United States and England. Between England and the United States, we're talking about almost 400 years of a world power. I guess England became a world power when they defeated the Spanish Armada. But they were vying for that. And interestingly enough, the English and the Spanish were cousins. The same families, royals fighting each other, infighting among the royals. That's never stopped either until they all turned upon the people. And there's still infighting among the royals, but now the people are being affected. And when you say, well, how can you make that application that it's the United States and England? Two horns. Remember, a horn is a kingdom, a ruling section, and you've got two. So you've got both the United States and England working together. And between both countries, you've got almost 400 years of world power. The United States flexed its muscles pretty strongly in the Gulf War and became, the world's only superpower. And can it call down fire from heaven? Can this two-horned wild beast that looks like a lamb, a peaceful lamb, we have to have war and then to keep peace. Let's keep peace by killing. And so we've built up the largest armada, the largest weapons, and then we've also been challenged. And so we try to do more. But have we called fire down from heaven? Oh, absolutely. During the Second World War, England called fire down from heaven upon the cities of Dresden and Hamburg. The fire from heaven and fire bombings and incendiaries that burned those cities to the ground and killed thousands. About the United States? Oh, absolutely. The fire bombing of Tokyo, 250,000 people killed through the incendiary and the fire bombing of Tokyo. And even worse, Nagasaki and Hiroshima were atomic warfare, burned those cities to the ground, incinerated virtually everything under that explosion, literally fire from heaven. The only time that an atomic weapon has been used against a people, at least until the Ukrainian war, but that's a very touchy subject, and we're not going to get into that. We didn't see necessarily thermonuclear weapons exploded, even though some were reported. They were most likely neutron bombs that went off, killed many, many people. In the beginning of the war back 2014, 2015, through the research, you can find it. But anyway, regardless, fire from heaven. fire from heaven. Now, the interesting thing, as I started to read, and here's where we're going to start to jump, and we're setting up the stage, actually, for other things to come. But if we read verse 14, it talks about this two-horned wild beast. Actually, it starts off in 15, where it, I'll just read it. It says, "And there was granted to it to give breath to the image of the wild beast, so that the image of the wild beast should both speak and cause to be killed all those who would not in any way worship the image of the wild beast." So wait a minute. We've got this wild beast, seven-headed, ten-horned wild beast, which ascends out of the sea. It gets a death stroke. Its death stroke gets healed. But then we've got this two-horned dragon speaking. It's actually the false prophet, but this dragon speaking lamb who wants peace in the name of war. Has those in the earth build an image to the wild beast that was given Satan's throne, power and authority. Well, why would we need an image? Think about this. Why would we need an image of this wild beast? Riscala, if we could have actually the, let's do the lamb first, the lamb that speaks as a dragon. I should have chosen another picture, one that shows two horns, not just a lamb with a forked tongue, a black lamb. But yeah, this is kind of an interesting thing. A lamb with forked tongue. White man speak with forked tongue, huh? Interesting. Okay, and the following picture after that, there we go. And here, if you look back, that there in the background, well, let's look at the foreground. You see this wild beast. This time it's a scarlet, it's a red wild beast, a fiery colored wild beast. It's the image of that wild beast that came out of the sea. Well, why would they need to build an image? And it induces the people to worship the image of this wild beast. Well, what happened to the original wild beast? You know, that's something that would boggle my mind, and I couldn't figure out. Why would they need an image? I asked this question over and over again for years. Why would they need an image? Why would they need an image? And the answer actually comes, Revelation is not written in chronological order, but we can find out why they need an image to this wild beast, and that's in Revelation 16:10. And Revelation 16:10 says, "And the fifth one poured out his bowl upon the throne of the wild beast, and its kingdom became darkened, and they began to gnaw at their tongues for their pain. But they blasphemed the God of heaven for their pains and for their ulcers, and they did not repent of their works." Their kingdom became darkened. Yes. People are tired of the United Nations, the Lucifer Trust, or the Lucian Trust. We're tired of this organization, which we are finding out has done things to control. You know, they just came out with a food pyramid. Was it last week, week before? You could eat about 2 eggs a week and have about a half a hamburger a week. And that's your protein consumption. What's that, crickets I hear? Yeah. Enjoy seed oils, fruits, vegetables, but no protein. Your body can't rebuild itself without the protein. Think about that. They want the population physically weakened, mentally incapacitated, more easily to manipulate. all of these, nothing good has come out of the United Nations. And what we find is that the different organizations within the United Nations have certainly hurt the population a lot more than helped it. Oh, we'll send peacekeepers in there. Yeah, to exploit the land, to take control, to make things worse. When has the United Nations ever got involved in something where they walked away and said, oh, well, we fixed this and we fixed that and we're able to, you know, stabilize these parts of the world and people are doing fantastic. They're prospering now, where before they were being devastated by civil war. Now, no, it's all an operation to capture. And we've realized that. We've realized that these guys have to go. And so does God. And so his bowl of anger, the fifth bowl of anger, gets poured out upon the throne. That power that was given from Satan to this worldwide organization. They lose their power. So what has to happen? What has to go on in order to gain control of the people? We see as one system falls, another system comes about. And yet some powers stay consistent within this system. And of course, we live in America and we love America. And we want to stay strong. We want to stay number one. We want to be the world's dominant power. Even if we did, we survived the Biden administration. We survived the Obama administration. We survived Trump 1. Will more than likely survive Trump too. After all, Trump was 45, 46, and 47, according to him. And so, as you watch the demise of one political organization, and this is the interesting thing, what's going on now within the world stage is we're seeing another power shift. Well, what about this image of the wild beast? How is it going to be? How are people going to be made to worship this? See, because along with this image of the wild beast, we're also going to get something else, in which we're actually just going to mention briefly tonight, but it will be the subject of next week's episode. And that is the eighth world power coming to be. We'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But what we find ourselves with is a situation where people have had it. We've had it with the way that things have been. We've had it with watching our country being deteriorated, seeing all of the wealth of America being given away to illegal aliens. You should only know. Trump said something very interesting here. Oh, we're not going to pay any taxes. You're not going to have to pay an income tax. There's a strong possibility within a year or two, we won't have any income taxes. Newsflash, most people know this. Before the Second World War, we really didn't have income tax. Of course, we lost our gold to the same people who established the Federal Reserve and the IRS. But once upon a time, we didn't have income tax. Think about that. Income tax is still legally, voluntarily. Try not to pay your income tax. But does your income tax actually go to support the government? Hell no. The IRS collects your income tax, goes to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve then takes your income tax, sends it over to the Crown of England. The Crown of England takes their 20% big and then passes on the rest to Babylon the Great, the Vatican. Because the Vatican has control over the Crown of England and has had control over Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. being the third city state. The city of London being the second city state, and of course the Vatican being the first city state. But so if we don't have to pay the VIG to the Vatican, well, then we can keep our income tax. We don't have to be taxed on the work that we provide, the work that we do with our own hands, with our mind, with our own intelligence. That's our personal property. That's our intellectual property. We learned how to perform something, how to do something with our own two hands or with our own skills, our own mindsets. That is our own intellectual property, and they have no right to it. Think about it. And so by ending the income tax, what's Trump saying? We're not going to pay the crown, and we're not going to pay the Vatican. Think about it. Now, how would you not have to pay the crown in the Vatican? Well, those laws that control that have to come to an end, don't they? The Vatican would have to come to an end, wouldn't it? Yeah. So how does that happen? And if you're doing away with one control system, which is part of a satanic system, and the people have come to learn that it's part of a satanic system, what are you going to replace it with? The image of a satanic system, because we're still all within the same satanic system. They're basically shifting gears. And you got people say, oh, I don't trust Trump anymore. Should have never trusted him to begin with. It's just the train pulled into a station. One conductor got off. Another conductor got on. Choo-choo, let's go. And so we're going to bring things in. That, now, it's interesting. I'm going to continue to read here in just a second, chapter 13, because you'll be able to see what parts are already happening by this image of the wild beast. So as we go down, and a lot of people are already aware of many of the things that it says here. Verse 16, this is after the beast is built. And anybody who speaks against the beast should be killed, as it says at the end of 15. And 16 says, and it puts under compulsion all persons, the small, the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, that they should give these a mark in their right hand upon their forehead, and that nobody might be able to buy or sell except a person having a mark, the name of the wild beast, or the number of its name. And here is where wisdom comes in. Let the one that has intelligence calculate the number of the wild beast, for it is a man's number, and its number is 666. 666. Now, is there a particular person that will come to power that will be this 666, an antichrist figure, as it's being, as a lot of people believe? Yeah, that's very possible. That's very possible. But what's most interesting is that, as it says in verse 17, that nobody might be able to buy or sell except a person having the mark, the name of the wild beast, or it's the number of its name. Well, how could you stop people from buying and selling? Well, did you know that the UPC code, it is on every product that is bought or sold in our supermarkets, grocery stores, online, whatever the case might be? That number starts off with a six. The middle of the number is a six, and the last of the number is a six. They don't print it anymore. They used to when they first came out with the UPC code. It's just two narrow strips in the beginning, or two narrow lines in the beginning, two narrow lines in the middle, and two narrow lines on the end. the spacing and the width of those lines is the number six. So they've already done it. Well, let's take it a little further. We've heard facial recognition. And we've heard some of the stories that have come out of China are quite interesting. Chinese live and die by their cell phones, basically. But you can't buy or sell anything without your cell phone. You see, because you take your cell phone, you go up to a store, and in order to open up the case that the item is in that you want, they have to recognize you. And if artificial intelligence says, hey, they're a good communist, they support the CCP, and they're very proactive, they're not an issue. Yes, they are, and they have our mark. They're allowed to buy. I heard an interesting story of a tourist over in China. They couldn't buy anything because they actually had to borrow a family member's phone. They went over to see their family, and they had to borrow the family and that member's phone in order to buy anything. And so they could get a phone set up with an exchange in their own name, which meant, guess what? Hello, we now got your facial recognition. Yeah. Yeah, we know who you are just by looking at you. And so, you know, we bring it back to home. Well, we'll never let this happen in the United States. This could never possibly happen here. Oh, yeah? Hello, Palantir. Oh, we're going to put Palantir in so that everybody who signs up for any government program, you know, like SNAP, or anybody who's going to get who's got social services benefits, we want to make sure, we want to vet them and make sure that they are actually U.S. citizens who are getting these programs that are supposed to be set up for U.S. citizens and not part of a group of illegal aliens that are connected to covert or undesirable organizations, ones that want to bring this country down. See, it's interesting. Nothing ever it happens until the fault with the false prophet until the very end. This lamb that speaks as a dragon stays intact. It never loses its power. It helps create the next section that we have to go live with. So I would imagine where we are now in the stream of history, we are going to see these AI systems being put into place to vet everybody to make sure that these people shouldn't be in this country do not get to reap its benefits. Wow, what a great idea. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, what we're going to do in order to ensure that is everybody has to get a new ID. You have to get a secure ID. Oh, really? Oh, yeah, we're going to put it right on your driver's license. And then you'll be able to travel wherever you want, you see? So this way we know exactly who you are, and you can get on a plane, and you can, you know, go through the TSA faster, and we're not going to charge you an extra $40 if you don't have your ID. So you're being pushed into the system. You can either buy or sell without the mark. But, you know, Palantir is going to make sure that these people who aren't part of this country, who came here illegally, that they're not going to get any of the social benefits that Americans all qualify for. So isn't that a great thing? We'll be able to round all these people up and get them out of the country. As a matter of fact, wait for the president to announce a change in voting. He's going to declare a national emergency. And he's going to say, no more voter fraud. Paper ballots counted in place. No more machines. No more mail-in, except in only approved and extreme situations. Yeah, if you're paraplegic, quadriplegic, hospital-ridden, or in the military and can't get to a polling center to vote, you will be able to use a mail-in ballot. but no more drop boxes, no more mail-in ballots for the general public. And everybody will have to go re-register because the voting rolls are so corrupt. And so once you re-register, you see, now isn't this a great idea? Everybody gets to go re-register. So we make sure that it's only American citizens who get to take advantage of the programs that we have here set up for American citizens in this country. What a great idea. Hello, Palantir. Hello, all of the different surveillance systems that they have in place, which is allowing them to make arrests and to uncover drug cartels and the infiltration. I don't know if anybody's paid attention, but you notice how many U.S. officials are being caught up. And we're looking at low level right now for the most part. But different state officials are being caught up as part of the drug cartels. Just happened, we had one in Georgia last week. The week before that, there was one in Massachusetts. The governor's assistant, I forget his exact title, but he was part of the drug cartel. I think part of the Sinaloa, I believe is what they said what he was. And he had a distribution ring all set up within Massachusetts. The corruption has gone to every county and every state across the United States. And that's what they're going to ferret out. And so how do you do that? With AI surveillance systems, with new IDs. And you know what? Once this is all done, we'll be able to do great things because we will have cut so much waste and so much fraud out of the system that you're not going to have to pay taxes. That you'll be able to keep all your money. And once we have everybody with an ID, we'll know exactly who's got what money. And then if you don't bend your knee, when we say bend, we turn your money off. Yeah, invest in crypto, XRP, Bitcoin, Ethereum, whatever's out there. The Trump coin, Doge, whatever the case might be. So this way we can keep track of everything that you have and take it away at the flip of a switch. Think about it. We're being guided and manipulated and being forced to worship these systems. Now, we haven't seen a lot of this actually come out and be implemented, but we are right on the dawn, right on the brink of this. Because as one system comes down, another one is already taking its place. And so the deception and the subversion goes on. You see, we've got a beast with seven heads and 10 horns. We've got lots of beasts with seven heads and 10 horns representing every world government that ever existed, or every world power that ever existed. Think about it. It's all together. And now it's all culminating. And it's culminating at a time that is now. Something I don't know whether I've said it on the Revelation program or not, but everybody wants to know the timing. Where are we? Where are we? When is he coming? There's still more prophecies that have to be fulfilled, but many, many are either in fulfillment or have been fulfilled. Think about it. And these are all coming about. Where we're going has already been decided. We are headed for the Great War of Armageddon. If we go back to chapter 15, And we look at verse, and this is another very interesting one, considering the geographical ramifications or the geological ramifications that are going on right now. 16 verse 12, it says, "And the sixth one poured out his bowl upon," and this is the sixth angel, these are the bowls of God's wrath that are being poured out. And it says, "The sixth one poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, that the way might be prepared for the kings of the rising of the sun." Now, if you look at what's happened to the Euphrates River, what once was one of the most flourishing areas of the world, the Fertile Crescent, that the Euphrates River and the Tigris for a good part, but mostly the attention has gone to the Euphrates, where its waters have been dried up. The Euphrates River is what gave Babylon, the third world power, part of its power. It's also why it lost its power, because the waters of the Euphrates was diverted, which allowed Cyrus the Great and the Persian army to march right in under the walls, under the gates, on virtually a dry riverbed to overtake Babylon. We're going to see something similar to that happen with Babylon the Great. That'll be coming yet in a future episode. But here, if we continue reading, in verse 13, Revelation 16:13, it says, "And I saw three unclean, inspired expressions that looked like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the wild beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are, in fact, expressions inspired by demons and perform signs, and they go forth to the kings of the entire inhabited earth to gather them together to the war of the great day of God Almighty." This is yet to come. It's not going to happen this year. It's not going to happen next. It may not happen the year after that. But when? You see, biblical prophecy seems to happen all at once. You wait, you wait, you wait, you wait, and then boom, there's a sign. And then you wait, you wait, you wait, and boom, there's a sign. But once you start to see the patterns coming about, you know what's going on. Think about it. Since the wild beast descended out of the sea, that's been over 100 years. 106 years, to be exact. When war broke out in heaven was over 100 years ago. The first intergalactic battle. And the rebels of that intergalactic battle lost. And now Earth is their stronghold. Yeah, we've got aliens. Nasty ones. Ones that demand child sacrifice, just like the gods of old did. What happens to 800,000 children go missing in the United States every year. They figure out they usually find somewhere around 275,000, which have been either runaways from home or they were kidnapped by a parent or a relative, but that leaves 500,000. Where do 500,000 American kids go every year? We know that 300,000 children went missing with the Biden invitation to come to the United States. And so as we had these millions of people cross the border, 300,000 children just disappeared. Where'd they go? Hello, Sleepy Joe. Where did they go? So we're seeing these things play out in these times in which we live. Now, to get a handle on how things are, I've said this on other radio stations. I don't think on other shows. I don't think I've said it on this show tonight so far. But here's a fact. 2029 will be the 2000th year anniversary that Jesus started his ministry. 2033 will be the 2000th year anniversary of his death. There's a whole nother show there. And here we are getting ready to enter 2026. So how long do we have to go? Think about it. So we've got great signs to see yet. There'll be more evidence in the heavens above, more evidence right here on the planet. We're facing some very interesting times. But is this the end of the world? Is this the end of civilization? Well, it might be the end of civilization as we know it, but no, we're going to be around for a long time. One of my favorite scriptures, and it has been for many, many years, and it's why we're in this fight to begin with. But one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible is in Revelation. It's in Revelation, the 21st chapter, and it's verses 1 through 4, but primarily verse 4. And verse 4 says, "And he will wipe out every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither will mourning, nor outcry, nor pain be anymore. The former things have passed away." Wait, what? There's not going to be any tears? There's not going to be any more death in a world that seems to live on death? We're going to wipe out death? We're talking about med beds? No, we're talking about a change of situation right here on the earth. You see, this was a promise to all of those who remained faithful, to all of those who turn around and wake up from being put to sleep or being distracted by the satanic system of evil and decide that, yes, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High. I have a right to live on this planet that no one can take away because this right was given to me by the Creator itself. Think about it. Are you going to exercise that right? Are you going to let the world powers take that away from you? You see, they want the right to rule over our lives, to tell us when we can eat, or what we can eat, how much we could eat, what we are allowed to say, what we can't say, what we are allowed to do. Oh, you don't have an ID. I'm sorry, you can't travel. You can't enter certain buildings. You got to have a real ID. Otherwise, we don't know who you are. You don't need to know who I am. I know who I am. God knows who I am. We're okay. You see, by exercising our faith in these promises, we make that part of our belief system. And it strengthens our hearts. It gives us something to look forward to because we know that we'll be on the right side of this little adventure that we call life on earth and that we'll be able to stand up to the satanic system of evil that's controlling this planet. But we're going to see one type of satanic evil fall to the wayside, only to be replaced with another type of government. That's going to be part of our topic of conversation next week. The seven world powers. But it starts off a little bit sooner than that. We'll be covering Revelation chapter 9 and Revelation chapter 17. Chapter 9 is quite interesting because it starts off with CERN. It actually starts off with the war that breaks out in heaven. And one of the stars that fall from heaven is given the key to the pit of the abyss. And he opens the pit of the abyss. And what does he release? We'll find out next week. We'll find out how that affects our lives even right now. the evidence would lead us that this has something to do with what happened in 2012, 2013. Remember the Mayan calendar? Lo, the end of the world is coming 2012. Nibiru's coming. Planet X. Wait a minute. That was over 10 years ago. We're still here. Nothing's happened. Nothing that most people have recognized has happened. But a lot of things have happened. And one of the things that happened is we got the Mandela effect. So we're in this for a little bit longer. We've got a lot of things to work out yet. And that's good because it gives us time to comprehend what's going on and to be able to draw our alliances, our allegiances to the right cosmic energies. And to reclaim our birthright to back to this planet, and to he who was it was given to originally, and that would have been our forefather Adam. So essentially, the Adamites, through his son Seth, are fighting the Canaanites, who want to kill, or willing to kill their brother for domination. Who are willing to sacrifice their own children to the gods who rule over them. We don't have a fight against each other. I love what it says. It actually comes out of the book, and I've read this before several times. The book is a loose translation of the Bible, but and a lot of people know this in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11. It's just that the book puts it so interestingly. It says, for we are not, excuse me, I'm getting a little dry here in the throat. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world. Those mighty satanic beings and the great evil princes of darkness who rule this world against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So we're fighting against the ones who have created these beasts and forced us to live under this beast system, a war which breaks out in heaven and is directed to earth. Our fight is not against people on the other side of the aisle, people who are confused and believe they're transgender, you know, they're confused enough to be born in another person's body. Our fight is not with them, but our fight is with those evil, wicked forces that have created the beast system and wish to make us part of that beast system. So, folks, we're just about to the end of tonight's show. I want to certainly thank you for listening. We do have a fantastic future ahead of us. Life without end. No tears, no sickness. And a rejoining of each other in Holy Spirit and being guided and directed by that Holy Spirit in order to perform God's will and to fight these satanic entities here on this planet. We've got a lot of good things ahead of us. We've got a lot of changes to get through. So continue to join us here on Trim Radio Network and on Revelation, and we'll get through all of this together, hand in hand. It's a lot easier to fight when you know who your enemy actually is and how to fight that enemy. It doesn't necessarily require guns and bullets and things of that nature, but actually spiritual weaponry. The weaponry that we can develop within our own minds and psyches. So with that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Hey, please hit the like button. Share this information with others. If you're on Facebook or other social media, bring this over there. Post it on your page. Please invite others to come and listen. We also have a lot of other shows on Trim Radio Network tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. You'll be able to listen to the Positude podcast on Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. We have our Red Pill reality show. All of these Red shows Pill. Bring Red great info. Red Pill. Sorry, Scala. Red Pill reality show.
I'm taking a break, so the next show is going to be on the 13th.
Ah, okay. So there you go, right from the man's mouth himself. So the 13th, that'll be a week from Saturday. I guess it'll be a week from Saturday. So join us here. There's usually a show. We've got a lot of different shows that are on Stu Shear's Money and Change. And Mike Bejas's shows, and he does a great football show if you're into college football. So yes, join us, hit the like button, subscribe, and share our content with others. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Have a fantastic night. We'll be back here again next week.